Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Do women change the way government works? Today, we welcome Brooke Blalid of Ready to Run South Dakota to talk about upcoming training that encourages women to run for office. Brooke, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this conference on April 13th and 14th. Give us an overview of who you want to come and then what they're going to experience when they do.
Well, we would love every woman in South Dakota who's interested in whether it's running for office or taking a more active role in our government and in leadership positions to come and be a part of our training on April 13th and 14th.
And give me an idea of, I know the keynote speaker is Stephanie Herseth Sandlin. She's now president of Augustana University in Sioux Falls, but she was the first woman elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in South Dakota. She's talking. What other kinds of, you know, breakout sessions or workshops or speeches can people expect?
Yes, so we are a nonpartisan nonprofit, and so we have speakers from both sides of the aisle, and the independent aisle as well. So we've got two tracks. Our first track is launching your campaign and being ready to run for office. And our second track is taking on more of a leadership role in the communities and finding your voice. With launching our campaign, we have Ann Hayek, who's a former Republican county commissioner here in Sioux Falls and also served as our District 14 rep, and we've got Paula Hawks, who ran in 2016 as our House candidate and also served in our state government, and then Kelsey Sutton, who was the first female elected to the Gregory County Commissioner as well. So in terms of women who are involved in politics, we've got some really great women coming, and then also on the other side, on leadership, we've got Casey Marshall, who's going to talk about finding your voice as an advocate. Susan Kroger, who's one of the founding members of LEAD South Dakota. So a really great balance of individuals and women from across the state.
Is this an annual event? Is it something that's sort of building now? Tell me about the history of Ready to Run South Dakota.
Yes. So my hope is for it to become an annual event that we'll do in the fall. Ready to Run was developed from the Rutgers University for the Center of American Politics and Women. So it's got 20 plus years of evidence-based research behind it. And I personally went out that network agreement to bring it to South Dakota. So we're really excited about that. We really wanted to have the training more in the fall because, as you know, we've got tons of really great women running for office right now, and we didn't want to give women this platform to kind of campaign. So we weren't able to ask women who are currently running. Hopefully next year when we run the program again, we'll be able to have Kristi Noem, who's, you know, running as our, hopefully, one of our first female governors in the state, and Chantel Krebs, who is also running for U.S. representative, along with other really great women that are running in the state Senate and House, as well as local elections.
What's your message to women about why it matters, why they should, you know, having more women in the state House, for example, what difference does that make? Is it tangible, or are you just trying to reach more qualified candidates?
Well, I believe it's tangible. We see 20% of our representatives at the state level represented by women. And I'd really like to see us get to 50% because women in South Dakota do represent 50% of our population. But we know from research that when women are a part of making public policy, policies are more transparent, they're more inclusive, and they're more accessible, not to mention that women bring a very unique perspective to policy life that's really been absent since the foundation of our government.
Give me an idea, when you talk to women, what are some of the first things that you see are as far as running for office itself? And then we can talk about, you know, leadership or sort of leaning in your community. But, you know, to run for an office, what are some of those obstacles that immediately people say, I would love to, but I could never, you know, raise money? Or, you know, what is it? What are some of the primary obstacles?
Well, the number one thing that I've heard, and even when asking women to sit on our panel, is there's got to be someone else who's better qualified than me. Hmm. Why me? You know, like, I don't have, you know, so-and-so is better. Well, I'm not coming to you because I don't feel like there's someone better. You are the expert. So, one, getting women to acknowledge that they are an expert in the field and that they do have what it takes to run is certainly a challenge that we have to overcome. I think the other challenge is that they feel like they can't because they have all of these other duties in terms of being a parent, being a mother, being a homemaker, and whatnot. That's another kind of barrier, that they're too busy. And then, you know, the third one is, yes, raising money, and just feeling like they have a voice that matters.
And is that something that's that you really see, that they, that women might say, or you know, potential candidates might say, I don't know if I have anything to say? Or do they have something to say, they have a point of view, they could do well, and they just need to overcome, you know, seeing themselves in the role, which is more common that you think?
I guess I'm asking,
you know, are women engaged, you know, as much? Is it an engagement issue, or is it a you know, overcoming the hurdle to do something about that engagement?
Well, I think engagement has definitely increased over the last couple of years, and we're starting to see another, like, engagement in terms of how much women are making, that their voice does matter. I think we've seen a lot in the news, so that there is more engagement in that essence. But I think the other thing that we're kind of missing is there's a lot of engagement on social media, but not following that to the next step.
Right.
Them willing to really put themselves out there. We still need to work on that.
Yeah, and then let's talk a little bit about sort of giving people the encouragement, because you mentioned Paula Hawks, who, you know, you might lose, you might run a campaign, you might not win, and you don't want everyone to just go home at that point. How do you convince them that this is a long-term leadership development process in the state, and it might take some time to sort of build the experience to run a successful campaign, or the experience to, you know, to get on the right board and learn those skills to be a real influencer in the state?
Well, I think you just continue to have that conversation with women and just be real matter-of-factly. I know when I ran for Yankton City Commission in 2013, one of my mentors I was speaking to, she said, "Now, I think you have a really great chance of winning, but on the flip side, you know, you may not win. And what does that mean? You need to always be prepared that you may not win, but that doesn't mean that you stop. That doesn't mean that you stop advocating, and it doesn't mean that you stop supporting, you know, other women or other candidates in positions. So I think just having that frank conversation that winning is just as likely as losing. And being okay with that and setting yourself to continue to be active in the community and what to do next if it happens that the woman isn't elected.
Yeah. Is it possible in a state like South Dakota to really support other female candidates on the other side of the aisle? Maybe not someone who's running directly against you, but do you see that sort of, encouragement and mutual, you know, mutual support happening between a Republican and a Democratic, you know, female candidates as they sort of try to help each other? Or is it pretty partisan still? And, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, that's just going to be a divide that's more challenging to cross.
Well, I think we've seen it, you know, over, you know, like over the history of our state with women being involved in politics and leadership positions. We've definitely seen women across the aisle be supportive of each other. I don't believe that there's been a platform yet that gives both parties or even the independents an opportunity for them to come together.
Yeah.
So I believe if we can, you know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to bring Ready to Run, is because it is nonpartisan. And giving women that opportunity to talk to each other as women, that we have similar experiences and similar challenges, barriers, but also similar opportunities. So really thinking about women as individuals and getting to know them on a personal level so that when they do get elected, they do have that relationship and trust built so that we can have policy that's really well written.
Right. Brooke Blalett is with Ready to Run South Dakota, the conference, April 13th and 14th at the downtown Holiday Inn City Center in Sioux Falls. Brooke, thank you so much for being here with us. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.